Holy God, give us the grace and wisdom to see your presence in our midst that is hidden in plain sight. Amen. Please be seated. The mystery of the Trinity is simply that, a mystery. Trying to explain the essence and truth of the Godhead in demonstrable terms is beyond human comprehension and understanding. It is certainly something well above my skill set. What we can do, however, is experience the power of the Trinity as something hidden in plain sight. Something so normal, a part of our daily life that we simply take it for granted, that is, until it is gone. The mystery of the Trinity teaches us fundamentally that God is in relationship. The Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit are in relationship with each other as one. The generative, creative, saving, and sustaining power of God rests in the relationship shared among the persons of the Trinity. All that has ever been, all that is, and all that will ever be is in and through the loving, generative power of the Trinity. The Trinity is first and foremost a community. That is what is hidden in plain sight. We live in communities each moment of every day, yet we forget how incredibly special and powerful those relationships are, at least until they're gone. Then we seem to wake up and value what is in plain sight the whole time. When my mother had a stroke in 2010, our relationship as I had known it ended. And while I prayed for her death to relieve her pain, I miss that relationship now more than ever, some 8 years later. The mystery of the Trinity reminds me that the primary quality of God is to be in relationship. The central message of Scripture, of religion, of spiritual expression is that God is in relationship with God's self and also with us. We are created to be in relationship with God, and we principally express that relationship through compassionate relationship with one another. It is God's desire for us to be in relationship with Him. We see it reflected right here and now by our gathering at this service as a community. Through our ritual prayers, we acknowledge we're in relationship with God. The Trinity of God reminds us that all things are interconnected. Nothing is separate. Nothing is cast aside. Every life affects every other life. Everything that is makes a difference to everything else that is. If you remember Jimmy Stewart in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, it's principally a movie about compassionate relationship and community. George Bailey lived his whole life within the confines of a loving community, a person who lived his life for his family and community. George Bailey was never a wealthy man. He was always struggling to make ends meet and keep his savings and loan afloat. One night, George reached the end of his rope and saw suicide as his only way out. Yet, as the story goes, he was given a great gift. The opportunity to see how his life affected the lives of everyone in his community. Why was George Bailey at the point of despair that suicide seemed the only way out? George was at the point of suicide and despair because he felt unconnected, isolated from his community. With the problems facing him, he was cut off from his community. He was cut off from relationship with those around him, with God, and with himself. He felt as though he was a non-person, a useless failure. He did not do the conventional things. He bucked tradition. He chose another path. He felt the weight of the choices he made in his life and moved more deeply down into despair. However, we know as the movie progresses, he comes to a deep awareness that he does have a wonderful life. At the end of the movie, George's brother Harry comes back from the war and toasts his brother at the party. If you remember, Harry lifts a glass and says, "To my brother George, the richest man in town." And indeed, George was the richest man in town, for he reconnected with the real riches of life. It was a life of compassionate relationship to others that was the source of his wealth. It was a life which reflected the love shared by the Trinity. So often you and I miss the forest for the trees. We get hung up on the small stuff. We stop seeing the magic of our lives and the lives of others and the deep connections that we have one to the other. We miss what is truly important and hidden in plain sight. We can also miss those messages that are right in front of us every day that God sends to remind us that which is hidden in plain sight. As I said last week on Pentecost Sunday, the invitation is always there. We simply need to refocus our eyes from time to time to see it. I want to share an incredible thing that happened to me just after I left church this past Sunday, when I was given such a message. After church, I went down to Bacchus Hospital to visit with Al Clark, our parishioner here at the 10 a.m. service. You know Al, he sits at the back with his wife Denise. He's in his wheelchair since his legs were amputated about a year ago. After my visit at the hospital with Al and Denise, I left and went down to the Bacchus Hospital lobby, and this message came to me quite clearly and direct. Someone at St. James Pocatonic is in trouble. The message was persistent, so I called the deacon at my old church. He did not answer his phone. I went back to the front desk thinking there might be somebody in the hospital that I was meant to see and started asking different names, and nobody was in the hospital. So I called around yet a few other parishioners. No one picked up their phone anywhere. Yet this voice of somebody being in trouble did not stop. I got in my car and started driving. The car started toward the home of a 93-year-old member of my former parish who lives not far from Bacchus Hospital. I actually couldn't find the house, so I was about to turn around and head home, and the message got stronger. Find her! So I kept looking. Ultimately, I found the house and pulled into the driveway and knocked on the door. She answered, and in astonished answering, opened the door and let me in. Then she blurted out to me, "How did you know?" I said, "Know what?" She said, "Last night my grandson Daniel died of an overdose of drugs." I said, "I did not know that." She says, "Then why are you here?" I said, "I was simply sent here." She had not gone to church that morning and felt very much alone. Because I had a long relationship with her in community, she was at home praying, and the message was given to me to find her. We shared communion and prayed for her grandson and all of her family who were in shock over the news of Daniel's death. It was because of our shared relationship in the community of St. James and with each other and with God that I was able to hear this message and respond. The story is dramatic, but I tell it in part to demonstrate how messages are always right in front of us if we pause and listen. And I promise you, I do not listen all the time. I just thank God I did this time. Since the church where I was still does not have a priest since I left, I actually was the right person to be with her in her hour of need. And it was all because I was already in Norwich with Al and Denise, and this time I heard the voice and acted. The life of compassionate relationship of the Trinity is reflected in our lives together in our families, among our friends in this very community of St. Peter's Church. Our life, the life we share together, reflects the love and life of God Himself, most powerfully represented in the community of the Trinity. In addition to this being Trinity Sunday, we also celebrate tomorrow Memorial Day, a day when we remember those who gave their lives in service of our nation. These are men and women who heard a message, who responded, whose love of a relationship and community compelled them to serve, in which they demonstrated the ultimate love and the ultimate price. They now live in the presence of that great mystery of the Trinity. So I end this message by asking you to take a moment right now in reflection to think, remember, and give thanks for those who served. You will find I put in the pews some of our doves for the mobile. If names come to mind as you're reflecting on those who sacrificed for our liberty, feel free to add their names and we will integrate them into the mobile as well. And as you reflect, Josh and Nancy will play a beautiful duet during our time of reflection. So let us call to mind those who have known and we've known and loved, who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our liberty, as our musicians perform In Paradisum by Charles Callahan.
Thank you. military who have given their lives for freedoms we enjoy. We pray you would have us all look to you for strength, comfort, and guidance, O God. Be with all who serve in our armed forces. Bless them and their families. Grant your loving protection. Let peace prevail among all nations, O God. Especially let your mercy rest upon our land, even as we acknowledge with thanksgiving your past goodness on this country. Preserve the lives of the men and women in uniform as they defend our nation. Most of all, we pray that you would turn the hearts of all, military and civilian, to your holy word, where we find the true peace that surpasses all understanding. Move us to know, take hold, and treasure your saving grace. In this peace and hope for eternity, we pray in your name. Amen. Turning now to our bulletin on page 4, let us profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.